when push comes to shove, you know, who do they have to shut down Matthews? Pavel Zacha? Charlie Coyle? You know, hasn't worked yet. So we'll see what happens for the rest of the series. But I just think the offense of Toronto is probably the best it's ever been, honestly, in the Matthews era. And they're hopefully going to find a way to get it done.
You're now listening to the Boys in the Booth podcast with your hosts, Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Well, we have a saying every year, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Of course, we are referring to the Stanley Cup playoffs. They are officially underway, and welcome to episode 207 of the Boys in the Booth podcast. Cody, Abrams, and Melbourne with you for this one. Thank you for your patience, by the way. This was just the easiest way for us to do it. We will go back to our playoff picks that we released over the weekend and talk about them and get this out. So thank you for your patience. Looking forward to talking some playoff matchups with you boys. How we doing?
Yeah, good, Harp. Like you mentioned, it was an absolute struggle to get the episode out because it took until game 1,312 to figure out the final seeding. So it stretched things out real good, Harp. Doing real good because playoffs are on. I flipped between three games last night, and I got my first round of golf in this weekend. It's just all things are pointing upward right now.
Yeah, nice, Case. Doing well here too. Obviously, Leafs are in the playoffs. Been watching that. It's been great. Also got a couple rounds of golf in, and I hate to say it, boys, but I think I'm going low this summer. I shot a 91 for my first round and then followed it up the next day on 4 hours of sleep and hung over with an 89. So
Chad's feeling good right now. He is golfing fantastic and just one-upped me by saying he's well after I said I was good three times in a row. So he big-timed me there.
I'm very well. Thank you, Casey, for asking me. But boys, before we get into this episode, just talking about our picks. Obviously, our picks are out there on our Instagram account so people know who we've picked. But we're just going to go through this episode and sort of explain the rationale and see where we're at through the first couple games of each series. But I wanted to say something quick before we get into it. I was watching game 2, Leafs Bruins at Real Sports the other night. And by the way, impossible to get a reservation at that place for to actually watch a game on the big screen. I waited on hold for like an hour the other day on the phone. I think it was like an hour and 7 minutes. You know, I was cooking and doing laundry and whatever in the background. So it wasn't a big deal, but I got the reservation, pumped to go. We watched the Leafs close out a nail biter win on the big screen. Everyone's going nuts. So we're still sitting at the table and drinking some beers. When I tell you that it wasn't 2 minutes, 30 seconds later, I'm looking around our table and we're all talking about guys like Pierre Engvall, Nick Batan, Dennis Malgin. It was the most psychotic conversation ever after this big playoff win. And I looked around and I said, guys, we just won a game. What are we doing talking about all these players, former Leafs that we hate? Like, it's just insane. What are we doing here? So I just thought I'd bring that up to tell you how psychotic Leaf fans are. Like, we can't even enjoy the little things. We just have to rag on teams of past, you know, past Maple Leafs teams. And it's just in our blood. Like, it's just pure torture being a Maple Leaf fan. But that was a pretty good game, too. And I'm excited for the rest of the series. Harper, how you doing, man?
That is embarrassing. You should not have shared that. My goodness. And you know what they say, when you're drunk and you've had a few, the truth comes out. So I think, you know, all you psycho Leaf fans at that table,
it's just self-loathing. Night, that's all it is. It's just
pathetic. There has to be something negative to talk about.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
We're like, all right, good game. What? God, you see Pierre Engvall the other night? God, we wish we had that guy. No, just kidding. And then someone else goes, I hated that guy on it. And it just turns into this whole, what about Dennis Malgin? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's ridiculous. I can't believe we had the conversation. But I brought that up because I stopped it. I was like, guys, what are we doing here? here. So well, anyway.
Thank God. I'm glad somebody did. Gee. Oh, that is hilarious. But yeah, that was a great game. I watched it, and obviously Matthews gets the goal on the breakaway late in the third. And yeah, that's got to be seven games, right? Like, and obviously we'll get into that later on in this episode. So, but anyway, doing well, fellas. Last week of being 26. So, it'd be a lot better if this was episode 270. It would fit really well, but I mean, it's episode 207, so still a 2 and a 7 in there. And yeah, we'll be another year older on Sunday, but none the wiser, that's for sure.
You really had to get that number connection in there, right? Really, yes. Grasping at straws here.
Connections wherever we can find them. All right, boys, let's get into our Stanley Cup playoff matchups here. So as we mentioned off the top, our picks are already out on Instagram. That was just the most logical way to do it, given how late in the season, I mean, right until the very end, given how, you know, we had to go till the very end to get all the matchups and schedule and everything and seeding and all that figured out. So, again, you can go back to our Instagram at Boys in the Booth and see our picks there, but we're going to talk about them right here. So basically, we're just going to try and run through these as quickly and smoothly as we can. I'll just kind of go to the two of you with, you know, each series, your pick and why kind of thing, and then we'll just move on to the next. We'll just keep the train on the tracks as best we can. So we'll start with the Western Conference, I think, guys. And last night, of course, Monday night was game one between the Dallas Stars and the Vegas Golden Knights. The Golden Knights are up 1-0 in this series. And who did you guys have in this series to start, Case?
I mean, these are two very complete teams, and in which I think that the winner will be in the cup final. I have been high on Dallas all year. I threw money on them to win the cup before the season even started. I'm going to stick with my guns. I'm going to pick the young legs of Dallas with the veteran leadership taking this series in seven games. It's going to be an absolute battle.
Yeah, Case, I did the same thing. I picked Dallas in seven. I thought, looking at this series, and I think most people around the league are thinking this, that it's a shame that one of these teams has to go out in the first round because they're both so good. And then if you just look at the other side of the bracket, like it doesn't even compare. Like I was talking to one of my buddies who's a Jets fan, and he's saying, you know, if the Jets can get through the first round, like, you know, they could be all right. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, and they have to play Vegas or Dallas, and that's not going to be good no matter what. So, yeah, it's a shame that one of these teams has to go out in the first round because they're both so talented. But I'm picking Dallas as well, seven games. When I looked at the two teams, I just looked at, you know, surface level and underlying numbers, and Dallas came out on top in virtually every one of them in terms of offense and defense. And Dallas hasn't got great goaltending all year long from Ottinger, not up to his standards, that is. So I'm banking on Ottinger pulling through and having a good playoff here. And yeah, Dallas seems to be the pick that, you know, it's not really a sexy one because they are the one seed in the conference. But I think at the end of the day, they're the better team. They have the better numbers, even though in the regular season, Vegas's numbers are probably watered down a little bit because of all the injuries, and clearly they're going to get better in the playoffs. But I think Dallas is the pick.
Yeah, and as you guys know, I was going on in the group chat about how all the format needs to be changed. Like, we can't have Dallas Vegas in round one. Blah blah blah. Well, as I was reminded by Case, you of course,
very, you know, nicely.
yes. This was the way that it worked out, because, you know, Vegas grabbed one of those last two spots, and Dallas was the number one seed out of the Central. So I can't believe that this is a first round matchup, and so there's going to be a good hockey team here that that will get bowed out in the first round. I have Dallas winning in seven games as well.
Well, yeah, you got to remember that Vegas picked up so much at the deadline too. Like, they're not the same team as the first half of the year. So their record and the eighth seed, it's not true to who they are.
Yes. Like the injuries all throughout the year, and then adding, you're right, like Noah Hanifin, Thomas Hurdle, like, you know, getting Mark Stone back, who scored like 2 minutes into the game, is just fitting for Vegas. And
script writing at its finest.
Yeah, exactly. And Vegas too, like, they're another team kind of similar to Boston, where they have two goalies who, you know, you kind of trust both of them. They played Thompson in game one, but they've got Hill there too. And so, you know, they're pretty much set. They're two really good teams. They're not your typical eight seed in the conference, which is why it's a shame that one of these teams is going to have to be eliminated. But the fact that we're all picking Dallas might make it seem like we think it's a slam dunk for Dallas. But if you notice, we all said Dallas in seven. So we all think it's going to be really close.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to say too, like, off the hop here, I think like a lot of these series are going to end up being close ones. Like, I can't see very many series that are even five games. I just think a lot of them are going to be tight, even with a lot of them being underway already. All right, fellas, we'll move on to Winnipeg and Colorado. And what a wild game one at Canada Life Center in Winnipeg. 7-6. Who would have thought that we would get a score like that in a playoff game that Connor Hellebuck is involved in? But that was the final. The Jets take that one. The whiteout back in Winnipeg, of course, and what an atmosphere that was on Sunday night there. So that was pretty cool to see. But Winnipeg goes up 1-0 in this series with the Avalanche. Who do you have, Case?
I mean, this one was hard for sure, but Winnipeg was 3-0 against Colorado this season. They outscored them 17-4. So I will be taking the William Jennings winning team in seven games. I see Colorado built as a team that can win a lot of regular season games, similar to the Leafs of 2 to like 4 years ago, where they, you know, they're top of the conference and then fail in the playoffs. That's how I see Colorado in a way, but I see Winnipeg as a team built for the playoffs and a full team. The Stars of Colorado can only carry them so far. Winnipeg as a team will win this in seven games.
Yeah, this one was tough for me too, Case. And I thought it was similar to the first series we talked about, Dallas and Vegas, because these are two really good teams who had great regular seasons. There are a lot of weapons on both sides, and it's just a shame that the winner of these first two series that we talked about are going to have to play each other, because there are some really good teams that we're talking about here. But I went the other way. I went Colorado in seven. I think it's going to be a really close series. You know, it's crazy. I was watching that game the other night. I just had it on in the background, the first period, and I just had it on silent. I was doing other things, and I had to keep looking at the screen, and I was wondering, like, am I watching highlights? Like, are they replaying goals here? Because it just seemed like goals kept going in and in and in. And it was wild because, as you mentioned, Connor Hellebuck was in net. And that's a guy who, you know, is going to bounce back from that. And hopefully, you know, for Jets fans' sake, he'll be good for the rest of the series, because he's the Vezina Trophy winner. He's the best goalie in the world this season. And has been consistently one of the best for the last decade or so. He's all reliable back there. But yeah, that was a very crazy game. But I went with Colorado in seven because I kind of need a narrative throughout all of my picks. And my narrative that I'm going with this year is I'm picking the team that has, and this is a general narrative, by the way, I'm picking the team who scores more goals than the opposition in term and generates more scoring chances than the opposition, and that's Colorado. And I'm picking the team who has better special teams, and that's Colorado, at least in the regular season. So I know the old adage is defense wins championships, but my theme when looking at a lot of teams here, and maybe it's, you know, I'm thinking about the Maple Leafs and them outscoring their problems, but my theme for a lot of these picks is pick the team with the offensive weapons and see if they can outscore their problems. And I think that's what Colorado is hoping to do here. And listen, it's going to be close. I know it's going to go deep. It seems like it's going to be one of the closest series maybe in the playoffs. And it sucks that one of these teams is going to have to go out, but I'm picking Colorado.
But in retrospect now, after one game, like Winnipeg has shown that they can score as well. So now if they can turn on the defense, it might not be seven games.
That's fair. But whose offense do you trust to keep scoring? Colorado's?
The full team of the Winnipeg Jets. Not just McKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar.
Or how about the guy who has the most points per game in playoffs of any active skater right now in Nate McKinnon at 1.3 points per game. Third in NHL history, by the way, in terms
need
of
a team
point
to
per
win
game.
The cup. We've seen that every single year.
I mean, yeah. If Nate drags them again, like, I mean, we're talking about two really good teams here. So I'm I trust the offense a lot more. I trust the Nate dog, and it's not like their D is bad. They just do give up more chances. And I just don't think that Winnipeg's offense is as sustainable. That's all. That's how I made the pick.
Yeah, Chad, I'd have to agree with you. I have Colorado in seven in this series, but I had to think about this one. That's for sure. By the way, do you guys think that this is it for Georgiev? Do you think he'll be back in this series, or do you think it's time to go to Eustace Annan, who was great down the stretch?
I was going to say, I'm shocked that they didn't start Annan, to be honest. I know that Georgiev is their guy, and you know, he got out of New York because he wanted to be a starter. But if you look at their, you know, surface level and underlying numbers this year, especially down the stretch, it was Annan who was the guy. So, I'm kind of shocked they didn't pull a New York Islanders and just start the hot hand in Varlamov there. I mean, that didn't look so good last night, but it looked good for my betting account, the wallet in my betting accounts for betting on Carolina. But yeah, I don't know. I think it would make sense to go to Annan. And then if he falters, you might have a goalie problem, but he was better down the stretch and kind of all season. So I was shocked they didn't start him.
Yeah, they just ended up going with the veteran, which is the two options are the hot hand or the veteran. And they went veteran. It didn't work, but now it's like, man, if I'm Annan and they're putting me in there, I'm like, well, they didn't believe in me the first time. Let's see how game two goes. They lose game two, and I think it's done.
Yeah, that's the thing. You don't want to create mind games, right, with your goalies. Yeah, exactly. So it's a tough decision now, for sure. Mm.
Yeah, certainly is. Another great series. Going to be another close series to two great teams in the West. All right, let's move on to Vancouver and Nashville. This is certainly a series that we did not expect from a Nashville point of view. We did not expect them to be here, but here they are after an incredible run to finish the season. And Vancouver, I mean, they were a top team. And they look like a contender all season. They are up 1-0 in this series. And by the way, before I get to you, Case, I just have to say that intro with you two, where the streets have no name in Vancouver, I mean, goosebumps watching that. I don't know if you got a chance to watch that, guys, but oh my God, like it just makes you want to run through a brick wall after seeing something like that. And you can just tell how much that meant to the fans in Vancouver, as crazy as they are, and also the team. That was awesome. I just want
to say that. I did see that, and that they probably set the record for like the most people bricked up at once in a hockey arena, but it was
sorry, fill me in on this. What is, they played U2? What
just happened? The intro that they had with like the lights and the fans spinning the towel and the U2 song on. It was just like everything was like so well done. It was the best intro I've seen. Like Sportsnet should have used that as their intro to the playoffs starting, not just the under pressure.
Pressure. I will say I like the under pressure.
That was good too. Yeah. That was good too. But
does Vancouver know that they're playing Nashville, who famously didn't get to go watch U2
Well, that's the thing.
And it turned their season around?
I think it, well, yeah, yeah. No, I know. I know. I like,
well,
I was going to say.
Now they've seen you too, so.
I guess, yeah, that's.
I was going to say, like, I think it that was strategic maybe, but that would be bad strategy because of how much it motivated the Predators. So I kind of contradicted myself there, but yeah, geez, that's interesting for sure. Anyway,
take a look at that after, Chad.
It was cool okay. to see. Yeah, you'll have to check that out. Anyway, Vancouver, Nashville. Vancouver up 1-0 in this series. Case, who you got?
Yeah, it's another one where I had to look at the season series as some way to predict this. And 3-0 Vancouver versus Nashville. They outscored them 13-6. I commend Nashville for their run to get themselves into the playoffs this season and into this situation. But the forward depth and the absolute star power of the Vancouver Canucks trumps Nashville's will to make them in the playoffs in 6 games.
Yeah, Case, I actually had the same pick, 6 games as well. And I just did it based on the season stats, like for each team. So, and then when I compared the season stats for Vancouver to Nashville, it just seemed like in every single category, Vancouver was just a little bit better or quite a bit better, depending on what you looked at. But in terms of actual goals against, expected goals against, and special teams, power play, penalty kill, they were just slightly better in all of those categories. So I just had to go with Vancouver. And then also, I really like Thatcher Demko, and he has the ability to steal a series. But now there's a question yeah. mark about whether or not he's going to be able to come back. And then if I'm looking at goaltending now, you know, for the rest of the series, and you've got UC Saros on one end versus Casey DeSmith on the other, that kind of tilts things for me a little bit. So obviously I'm still picking Vancouver, but I could see this getting stretched into 7 games. I mean, depending on how Saros plays and because that's a big morale hit for the team, you'd think too, having your guy, your starter, your, you know, Vezina caliber goalie is out, you know, like that's a big hit.
I think that Casey DeSmith is good enough to get Vancouver through this series with how good their team is, but they need Demko back for next series.
For sure.
If they get there.
And do we yeah. even know like exactly what happened? I watched a bit of the game and I saw he made like one huge cross crease save in the first like 2 minutes of the game. It was huge, but I just wonder if he tweaked something. I don't think we know, do we?
I don't know.
Well, I wonder if it's a reoccurring sort of injury, because we know that he was hurt down the stretch. They were resting him. He came back for a few games and then, of course, started game one of this series. So I wonder if it's the same injury again.
Maybe, yeah.
For Demko. But I'm with Case. I think DeSmith is good enough to get this team through. But in terms of longevity in the playoffs for this team, it's not enough. Like, it, you know, I kind of compare it to if Florida were to start Anthony Stolarz, for example. I mean, that would be enough to get the Panthers through, I think.
Yeah, I think Stolarz was probably the best backup in hockey this year, though.
He was. So 927 save
yeah,
percentage.
The guy was legit. Was. I think it's closer to, like, I don't know, like, you're looking at a backup who is behind a starter who plays the majority of the games. Like, DeSmith is a backup. He's not a tandem guy. He's a mm-hmm. backup. He's fine. Like, I don't, you know, he's fine.
Yeah.
But
I'd compare it more like Kochetkov starting.
Yeah.
I had to make a comparison just because Carolina's so good.
That's
and
fair.
Kochetkov is That's the backup there. Yeah. So I think that would be my comparison.
That's fair. Yeah, I was trying to think of a name. Nothing came to me at the time, but that's a good one.
I had Vancouver in 6 games as well, for the record. But Now with the question marks around Demko potentially being out for the series, I could see this going to seven games as well, potentially. So, all right. Now, fellas, wrapping up the West end of things with Edmonton and the LA Kings. The Oilers were up 4-0 in game one against LA. Zach Hyman with a pair of goals in that one. Connor McDavid with 5 assists, doing unhuman-like things as he usually does. Edmonton, it looked a little rocky there as the game went on. You know, LA got a couple of goals and got themselves back in it. But the Oilers end up winning this one 7-4 and take a 1-0 series lead. And what a rivalry this has become in the playoffs. Third year in a row that these two teams are facing each other in round one. Who we got between the Oilers and the Kings?
Yeah, I think this series is going to be a lot closer than people are giving LA credit for. They've given Edmonton troubles in the past. They got to 6 games last year of, like, 2 of the games definitely scared Edmonton. I think that the old stars of LA are going to want to make one more push now that they have a good young core coming together and they're kind of on the way out. I think they're going to there's going to be a lot of willpower on that team. But that being said, McDavid is going to will the Edmonton Oilers past LA in 6 games. And we already saw that in game one with 5 assists. Like, yeah, Hyman had 3 goals, but they were all created by McDavid.
Dude, Hyman's goals, he had a stick on the ice. He could have been using a paddle. You know, like he could have been using anything and McDavid would have just banked it off his stick and in. McDavid was on another level last game. And to get 5 assists in the first game of the playoffs, that's a statement. That's him saying, listen, I know this season started off rocky. I know we have history with this team. Doesn't matter. We're winning this series and it's not going to be close. Now, Harp, you mentioned off the top, after they went up 4 goals, it got pretty squirrely for them because, you know, they don't really have a great team shutdown defense system, I guess you can argue, and their goaltending hasn't been good really all season. But man, like going back to my theme and fitting into my narrative here, they're just going to outscore their problems if these guys can keep it going. Like, what was it, a couple seasons ago in the playoffs where both McDavid and Draisaitl both had 2 points a game when they went to the conference finals, 2 points a game. And, you know, there was an argument that maybe one of those guys could actually win the Conn Smythe and not even go to the finals because they were that good. If these two guys continue to perform how they normally do in the playoffs, I don't think it's going to be a problem. Last year, it was 6 games between these two teams. I think the year before was 7. Right, yep, between these two teams. So I just don't see it being a long series. I just like Edmonton too much, and I just don't trust really anything about LA. I think they're a good team, but we saw how much they struggled throughout this season, and they just didn't put together good long stretches of hockey. And when you look at the numbers, virtually everything favors Edmonton, and I just have to go with them in 5 games. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I just don't think LA can match the firepower of the Oilers. And so I picked Edmonton in 6 games in this series as well. And again, you know, this is the time of year where you can flip the script as a hockey player. And you know who I'm getting at? PLD, Pierre-Luc Dubois on the LA Kings. And again, a non-factor in game one. Not good. That's a big ticket and a big price that they gave up to get him. And he, again, was non-existent in game one.
Yeah, I will say when I was looking at the numbers, I was kind of surprised that LA actually had the 2nd best PK in the league, which was kind of crazy. And they were 3rd in the entire league in goals against. So they allowed the 3rd fewest goals. And, you know, you look at their goaltending and even their defense, it's kind of like, I was kind of shocked by that. But my counter to that is, what are you going to do about McDavid?
Yeah, yeah. The PK thing doesn't surprise me too much when you think about the stars of this team are all like kind of two-way guys.
Yeah,
and they all play on the PK. So it's like, doesn't shock me. Like, I mean, I probably wouldn't have guessed it, but I'm not like blown out of the water.
Yeah.
But
the goal's against
your PK better be real freaking good if you're playing Edmonton.
Yeah. The goals against is what jumped out to me though. Third fewest goals against in the entire league this year. LA, like name their two goalies, you know, like who is their backup right now?
I don't know their backup. I know Talbot.
Yeah. Is it Copley?
Riddick and Copley.
Third fewest goals against. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
We interrupt this podcast to tell you about one of our favorite partners, SignUp Expert. If you're a sports bettor, whether brand new, casual, or hardcore, listen very carefully because this ad is for you. Guys, line shopping for the best odds matters, and that's why any profitable sports bettor needs to be using multiple sports books to maximize their profits. Thankfully, there's never been a better time to get signed up, and we're here to connect you with the best promotions industry-wide. When you use our link at signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth, you can get access to all the top sportsbooks in your region, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. Most importantly, all of these sportsbooks have valuable signup offers for new users, and when you register through our link, you will automatically receive the top offer at each one, allowing you to start line shopping right away with an enhanced bankroll. Guys, it's simple. When you use multiple sportsbooks, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is key to successful and profitable sports betting. So if you want to take advantage of these incredible benefits and support our brand at the same time, please consider signing up for your next sportsbook through the link in the description down below, signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. If you're planning on signing up for a new sportsbook anyways, you might as well use the link and support the boys. So one more time, that's signupexpert.com/boysinthebooth. This podcast is also sponsored by the absolute best ticket app out there, SeatGeek. SeatGeek takes the confusion out of buying tickets, making it quick and easy to get the best deals on tickets to your favorite sporting events. SeatGeek does this awesome thing where they score each ticket out of 10 based on its value, so you know if you're getting a good or a bad deal. If the tickets are green, for example, you better act quick and secure those things because that's a good deal, but if the tickets are red, maybe wait a bit before pulling the trigger and monitor the price in the app. SeatGeek just makes it way too easy. Anyway, here's the best part though. SeatGeek has completely hooked us up. Boys in the Booth listeners get $20 off their first purchase on SeatGeek with the promo code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. So click the link in the description down below to download the app and remember to get your discounted tickets using the code BOYSINTHEBOOTH in all caps. Get great seats for a fraction of the cost with SeatGeek.
All right, fellas, that wraps it up for the East, or for the West, excuse me. And now we'll get into the four series in the Eastern Conference in round one. So starting with the Battle of Florida, the Lightning and the Panthers. And when you're looking at series that, you know, you're most looking forward to seeing how they play out. I mean, this is right at the top of the list for me. These two teams cannot stand each other. They're in the same state. It's, you know, Tampa Bay is, they were the big brothers for so long, really until last year when Florida, it was their turn to get all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. They'll be looking to do that again. And Tampa is certainly more well-rested coming into this series. They did fall in Game 1, a close one in Florida, as the Panthers take a 1-0 series lead here. Who do we have between Tampa and Florida?
This series is going to be an absolute bloodbath, and I am here for it. I imagine that whatever team emerges from this series is going to be beaten up for the second round. And that bodes well for the Leafs or the Bruins. It's less of a slight to Tampa Bay, but more of a nod to the fact that a very similar Florida team made it to the Stanley Cup Finals last year as the 8th seed. And this year they're the 2 seed and they're even better. So I have to imagine that this team is going to go for a run. They are built for this style of play. They've been playing playoff hockey all year long. They don't have to change much. They just turn the intensity up a little bit. Now, I will say the Tampa Bay Stars are a bit of a wild card. Guys like Cooch, Vass, Hedman and Point can take over a playoff series in a heartbeat, but the way Florida plays and the way they will bully their way through, I think that they are going to win in seven.
Yeah, so I had a hard time with this because I think, you know, no matter what the numbers say, and you know, the fact that Tampa Bay has regressed a little bit and is trying to hang on to that contender status, that, and you know, they're trying to chase one more cup, no matter what any of those narratives say or the numbers say, it's going to be a close series no matter what. And I picked Tampa Bay in seven games, and you know, honestly, if you ask me to be completely truthful, who do I think the better team is? It's probably the Panthers. But I just think that if Tampa Bay, you know, with all their experience and expertise playing in the playoffs, if they're able to get Florida to play the game that they want to play, they'll be able to win some games. And what I mean by that is a more, you know, sort of run and gun offense game. Like you look at Florida in the regular season this year, they were arguably the best defensive team in the entire league. They were tied for first in fewest goals against. And in terms of expected goals against, they didn't give up that much at all. And then in terms of scoring, you know, they generate a ton, but scored still like in the top third of the league or so. But the point is, like, Florida is a team who prides themselves on this low scoring, like chippy game where, you know, they're okay with defending and kind of sitting back and letting teams bring the game to them. But I think if Tampa is able to get them in a more run and gun game and kind of stretch it out a bit, I think the stars of Tampa Bay, mainly Kucherov and guys like Stamkos and Point, will be able to get the job done. So that was my rationale when picking this. And for me, the real tipping point was when I looked at special teams and the power play of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Even though they've regressed a bit in the regular season, they still finished number one in the entire league in power play percentage. You look at the weapons on that team on the power play, we know that in the first round, the whistles are out and they're abundant and refs are calling everything. And I just think that if this team gets more power play, or at least some power play opportunities every game, that their offense will be able to get it done for them.
And I had a similar thought path when thinking about the Tampa Bay Stars. Like, if they are going to control the games, then Tampa Bay is going to run away with it. But I came back to the fact that it's going to be last change and home ice advantage that allows people to run the flow of play. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the home team wins every single game in this series, and that would result in Florida being the winner in seven.
That's fair. If it goes to a game seven, though, I think I feel more confident with Tampa Bay. Like, I know it's going to be in Florida, but do you not think it'll just be all blue and white in those stands? If, I mean, I don't know how you can stop Florida from selling tickets to Tampa Bay fans, you know, like you can't put a state ban like they did last time. So I don't know, in a game seven, I think I like Tampa Bay, even though I think Florida's the better team. And something else I'll bring up kind of just to wrap up, when you look at the regular season numbers, you know, I think Tampa Bay's are a bit deflated because they didn't have Vasilevsky for the first 20, 25 games of the season. They had Jonas Johansson. And then after that, you know, Vasi kind of wasn't the guy who we remember him being, but again, like, you just have to ask the players, you know, which goalie in the league would you like to have in a game seven or in the playoffs? And to me, that's Vasilevsky. I know he didn't have a great playoff last year. I think he had a save percentage in the eights against the Maple Leafs, but I just don't think Florida is as dangerous as you know, some of the really good offensive teams. And I think if Tampa can put the offense to them, they might have the advantage. So I picked him in seven, but it's going to be close for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you line up the bottom sixes of these two teams, it's like you take Florida every time, but then 100%. When you line up the Stars, you're like, well.
Yeah. Well, and the D-Core too. You take Florida's like every time, but
that's hard to play against that D-Core.
Yeah. But man, Kucherov, guy's a weapon.
We'll figure it out.
I feel like there are some blue liners in Tampa that don't get enough credit either. Like Darren Radish is a guy who's very underrated, I think. And there's Purbix and, you know, Dumba's been a nice ad and I don't know. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to the D-core, have to give the edge to Florida for sure. I just think it helps that Tampa came in with some extra rest for the first time in, you know, 3 years really. And they know how to win. And their stars are their stars, and they've got maybe the best goalie in the world. So I gave the edge to Tampa winning this one in seven.
Okay.
All right, fellas, we'll move on now to the Rangers and the Capitals. The Rangers President's Trophy winners looking to, avoid keeping that that tradition going of the President's Trophy curse and losing in the first round. Pretty confident that's not going to happen here against this Washington team, but hey, you never know at the end of the day. Rangers up 1-0 in this series against the Capitals, and who do we have in this series? I feel like we're all going to be aligned on this one.
Yeah, I'm opening myself up to getting absolutely dumped on if this goes poorly, but like, I don't have much to say about this one. New York's been an absolute powerhouse all season. The storylines have been very positive for them going into the playoffs. Unlike some of the other top teams, everyone's found a way to pick holes in their game, but very positive storylines for the Rangers going into this. And Washington is just lucky to be here with that differential and that record. So I hate to say it, but Rangers in four.
Oh, wow. I was going to say that, Case. I really had, you know, my heart set on a sweep, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. So I picked Rangers in five. They're the better team top to bottom. They're a real contender playing a team who, you know, barely got into the playoffs and have maybe the worst goal differential of a playoff team in the past 100 years. It's bad. You know, good for Washington for getting in. They won that snail's race of a
pillow fight.
Yeah, the pillow fight in the Metro. But you know, they don't stand a chance. And if Caps fans think they do, they're kidding themselves. And it's the same for the next series for me, by the way. But I have more faith in a team like the Islanders than I do the Capitals. So yeah, Rangers in five. I don't think it's close. If I had more cojones like Case, I'd go four, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
I actually had the Rangers in six in this one. I wanted to give the Capitals a couple of wins, and very similar to a couple of years ago when they faced Florida in round one. I just think that we could see a pair of games here, you know, one win on the road, one win at home for the Capitals, where they just frustrate the hell out of the Rangers and Charlie Lindgren stands on his head and maybe they get a win or two. So, but I'm in between five or six, but no question the Rangers are taking this series.
Just a couple numbers for this series. Goals for Rangers were seventh in the league. Washington was 28th. Okay. Goals against, the Rangers were 7th in the league. Washington was 17th. Special teams, the Rangers had the 3rd best power play and the 3rd best penalty kill in the league. Washington was 18th and 19th respectively. It's just not close. Like, one team is a cup contender and the other is a bubble team. And, you know, if it was Pittsburgh in this position, I actually think I would have more faith in that team than this Capitals team. I just don't believe them. Who's going to score? They just don't score, you know? So yeah, five games for me.
Crazy to say, eh?
After I know.
15 years, crazy to say who's going to score in Washington after, yeah. You know,
I know.
15 years of them just being an absolute threat with the puck.
But. Yeah. Ovi did get hot at the end. He was scoring at a really nice pace towards the end, but
yeah,
you know,
he sure was. Dylan Strome career year as well. 66 points, I believe he had, and he's really found a home in DC. But
you
yeah,
said,
for sure.
You said he sure was, but I thought you said he sure,
oh.
Like Nico. And I was like, yeah, he was, but I don't know what that has to do with anything.
He was what?
He doesn't.
He was playing really well at the end of the season. Oh. But we're talking about the Washington Capitals, Harper.
No. Dylan Strome. Yeah. All right. Carolina and the New York Rangers, or New York Islanders, excuse me. So, Hurricanes and Islanders, and what a crazy game two that was in Raleigh. Just a wild finish. The Hurricanes end up squeaking out that victory to go up 2-0 in this series. The only team so far that's up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So who do we have between the Canes and the Isles?
Yeah, I don't have a ton to say about this one either. Carolina are my favorites in the East going into the playoffs. And I think that the Islanders trap game can work against some teams, but the Hurricanes are just going to be absolutely relentless and come at them over and over and over and over again. Carolina is better on paper in every single way. They have the last few years' track record of being a very good playoff team. Carolina in four. Also, I turned the game on last night at 3-1, and I'm like, well, there goes my bracket. And then Jarvis scores, and then Martinook scores. I'm like, okay, here we go. So I'm sticking with that. They're 2-0 right now. I think 4-0 is on the horizon.
Dude, we're at Real Sports watching the Leafs game, and they've got smaller TVs with other games going on. That one started half an hour after the Toronto game did. And we look up, and all of a sudden it's 3-0 for New York. Kind of look around the table and we go, what are the odds on Carolina right now? We go check. They're not even that good. I think what I got them at was plus 500, which is
crazy.
That they're down 3-0 midway through the second period, and they're still only plus 500. That's how big of favorites they are to win this game and to win this series, for that matter. So hammered it. They scored 5 unanswered goals. Jake Guentzel chipping in on the offense. What a pickup at the deadline that guy is. This team, like top to bottom, is better. And, you know, it's just not even going to be close. But I'm going 5 games again, Case. I couldn't go 4, although I wanted to.
I'm more confident in this one being in 4 games. But it's funny you say that about Jake Guentzel, because, yeah, he played well in both games. But Kevin Weeks on the broadcast was like, after he scored his empty net goal, mm-hmm. Was like, well, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you go out and buy at the deadline. And I looked at Rab and I was like, what the fuck? It's an empty net goal. Yeah. Where the puck got banged off the boards and went to him on a breakaway. I was like, is that why you go out and buy the biggest fish on the trade block is for empty net goals? I don't know. It felt like an unnecessary, like, commentator thing to say.
Yeah, it's like trying to get a win out of something that, like, no one's contesting you on, but, like, you're trying to put it out there into the world. But no, I saw Seth Jarvis. He was on Chicklets, and I saw a video of him talking about how both Kuznetsov and Guentzel have fit right in with this team. And Jarvis, he feels like those guys have been there all year, and, you know, they're obviously really good on the ice, but off the ice, they fit in nicely too. And I don't know if you guys saw the play where Kuznetsov had the puck in the offensive zone and one of the Islanders players broke their stick. So they're chasing Kuznetsov around without a stick.
Stick handling in a phone booth.
Yeah, that was hilarious. That's Kuznetsov having fun playing hockey. Like that, that was amazing to see. And this team is good. I think maybe this or the next series, so if all goes to plan, it'll be Carolina and New York, the New York Rangers, not the Islanders. That series might be the best in all of playoffs because those two teams play a similar style of hockey and they're both so, so good. To see them match up in the next round is going to be insane.
Yeah, absolutely. I have the Hurricanes as well. I picked them in 6 games. I just figured that, you know, the Islanders would get a couple of wins by frustrating the hell out of Carolina. And of course, you know, Carolina plays such a frustrating game for the opposition as well. And so not much more to say.
I got one more quick question though about the goaltending. Do you guys think it was smart to go with Varlamov over Sorokin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so. He's both the veteran and the hot hand. It's like, in my mind, you go with him, but
yeah,
probably switch it up now. If you were done there, Harp, one thing I wanted to say about Carolina and the way the Islanders play is I can see them frustrating the hell out of them, but last night they blocked over 30 shots against Carolina, and Carolina just kept coming and coming and coming and then thread the needle on a perfect play, score, beat them on the forecheck. Dobson on that goal that Martinook scored, that was soft behind the net. It's just like all of that is pointing towards, I don't know, I feel better about my prediction after that game last night.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it throughout the regular season, man. This Islanders team, like, they have all, like, basically the same guys, but they don't play the same system they used to be. They don't lock it down as well defensively. They're kind of soft sometimes on the puck, like you just mentioned, Case, with that example. So, I don't know. It's just not the same team they used to be. So,
yeah.
Not just going back to Carolina for a second, not just saying this because, I mean, you know, Matt Martin and other Islanders were chasing him around the ice, during game two, but Stefan Nason, like what an underrated player and an effective player for Carolina. And if they can't find a way to re-sign him, he's going to get a nice little ticket somewhere, I think, in a depth role.
Yeah, how about Seth Jarvis? 3 points in his first game. Would have been nice to have in blue and white, 13th overall. Traded for Patrick Marleau and a first.
That's right. Well, hey, don't feel too bad because, again, I feel like I see this every year, a tweet or an Instagram post of an entire ex-Buffalo Sabres roster in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's actually a pretty darn good one. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but all right, fellas, doing well for time, by the
way.
Not bad. This is great. And so we'll move on to our last series now in the Eastern Conference, last series to talk about in this episode. And that, of course, is, drum roll, please, the Bruins and the Maple Leafs. I mean, you know that this has to be 7 games, right? It's even up at 1 apiece between the Leafs and the Bruins. Nice win for Toronto in game two after losing 5-1 in Boston at TD Garden in game number one. Leafs and the Bruins. Let's get into it before we wrap up.
You know, both teams went into this one banged up already. I was wondering like how much of a factor that's going to play, like seeing Nylander not start the first game was definitely a shock. But I just think that Toronto is going into this maybe a less strong team than previous years, but more of a playoff team than ever before, if that makes sense. And like, I had a feeling that the stars of Toronto were going to finally step up and this season and take over with you know, some depth effort here and there. And we saw that in Matthews last night, although we haven't seen it in Marner, who has been just as absent as William Nylander in this series. I'm hesitant here because I think that this one can go either way. Boston just plays as such a team. They figure it out as a team, whereas Toronto is individual efforts and kind of being a little too run and gun for me so far. But I'm picking Toronto in 6 games. I'm giving them the edge. I think in 6, because if it goes to 7, Boston will win the series. So the Leafs have to win it in 6. They've already won their one on the road against Boston. I had a feeling that the stars meant business this year and the depth effort of this team can push them over the top.
Yeah, I picked the Maple Leafs in 7 games, but I'm with you, Case. Like, if it goes 7, I'm not super confident in this team squeaking out a win in TD Garden when, you know, the psychotic fans are banging on the glass and giving it to the team on the bench and tweeting about it before the game.
the TD, the Toronto Dominion Gardens, where they were chanting USA for their captain, who's a Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah. Where they own the Maple Leafs in, which just, yeah, there's a lot going on there. There's a lot to
unpack. There's a lot going on.
But yeah, I picked the Leafs in seven. You guys know that all season long, I've been kind of down on the build, the makeup of this Leafs team. You know, they're better offensively by the numbers, which I predicted, but they're worse defensively by the numbers, which all of Canada predicted. And it's just, it's been an up and down season. But when I look at the numbers, even though they're not as good as previous years, I just still had to go with the Maple Leafs in this one. This Bruins team is not as scary as it used to be. They're still a damn good team, and they are the favorites to win this series, you know, by the Vegas odds and by their position in the standings. But I think for the Leafs, you know, there's only five guys on the team who even remember playing in those series back in 2018 and 19. It's a totally different team with you know, guys who don't have those scars from previous series against this team. So I just feel like, you know, it's less of a big deal. It's less of a mental block, even though for some players like Marner, it does look like the mental block is still there. But I don't know. I look at this team, and Case, I think you're right. They're better built for the playoffs. They play sort of a simplified style, which, you know, that comes from having butchers on the back end who just flip it out high and hard. And then, you know, you let Matthews play with two goons up front and do everything and have the puck for the whole game. And that's kind of been working for them. But the reason that I'm a little more confident now, especially after splitting 1-1 in Boston, which, by the way, is sweet. Like, if you go down 2-0 though in Boston, you're probably done for the series. Like, that's hard to come back. Yeah. But splitting 1-1, that's great, because and to do it in a game where you closed it out in a tight defensive fashion, and to have your biggest guy play the best playoff performance he may have ever played in that game. You know, 3 points, gets the GWG, saved a goal, pulled the puck off the goal line, put it into Samsonov's pads, like blocking shots, winning battles, snapping back draws, like literally doing everything, you know, offensively and defensively. To have that, you know, it's encouraging. And to get out of there 1-1 from Boston is great. But the other reason why I'm more confident now about this series is that they haven't had William Nylander, who was your second best player all year long, and arguably for about half the season, maybe your best player. You know, like, people are kind of forgetting already, because he had 98 points and he was slowed down the stretch and wasn't able to get to 100. But people are kind of forgetting that it was until about game like 65, 70, where Matthews finally passed Nylander in points. Like, Nylander was leading the team in points all year long. And he had an insane season. So not having him is a big blow. And then not having a guy like Marner perform up to his standards is also another big blow. So if things go right and you essentially get two of those guys into the lineup playing like their normal selves, hopefully, I just think the offense of this team is too good for the Bruins defense to handle, which, by the way, even though both of their goalies are really good, their defensive numbers in the regular season, the Bruins, that is, were not very good. They're about middle of the pack. So it's not the same defensive stalwart team that we're talking about here, like the Florida Panthers, who were the other opponent that I was much more worried about. So I'm confident that the Leafs can get this done, but it's not going to be easy, and there's a lot of hockey left to be played.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, you know, like we were talking about with the Battle of Florida, it's one of those series that you look forward to, given the history and everything. Case, that's a good point you make about, you know, how ideally you'd like to see the Leafs get this done in six games. But I do think it's going to go seven. And I do think that the Maple Leafs win this series. And Chad, you and I were texting a little bit last night. I do like the physical nature of this Leafs team and the makeup of it. It's very more playoff type hockey.
Okay. But here's my problem with what you said. I have two problems. You said that you like how this team is built, and you clown me for my take saying that this is my least favorite version of the team. Well, if you look at last year and the additions they made, they were even tougher, arguably, or at least the same level of tough, because you had guys like Nola Chari in the bottom six and Sam Lafferty and Luke Shen and guys like that and Ryan O'Reilly, who are all tough, but they were better structured to play team defense. And they didn't give up as much in terms of expected goals every single game. So yes, they may be tougher and they have butchers who simplify the game on the back end this year, but I still don't like the team relative to last year's in terms of just general makeup. Now, do I think that because in my head they're a worse version of the team that they can't win? No, of course not. It's the playoffs. Any team can win. I mean, the New York Islanders could win the cup this year. You know, the Capitals or the Predators could win the cup this year. And yeah, it would be shocking, but it wouldn't be unheard of or crazy. Eight seeds do it all the time. Look at Florida last year. So,
yeah,
you know, I think because it's the playoffs, every team has a chance to win. And I think the way that the Maple Leafs are built, as long as their stars are going, they might be able to cover up some of the deficiencies in other areas of their lineup, which I think they for sure do still have. So that's I wanted to clarify that.
I think the difference here is that the toughness, I think they are tougher this year than they were last year. Definitely more suited to play a defensive style last year. But the difference this year is that the toughness is coming in the form of a top six.
Mm.
You have
exactly
Bertuzzi and Domi, where that first line has been the best line both nights for the Leafs.
Yeah.
Bertuzzi, Domi, Matthews is definitely getting the job done. You have the two, like Domi maybe getting a little too carried away at times. I guess Bertuzzi also, but they're physical, they're run and gun, they're smashing in the corners, and then you do have the meatheads on the back end like McCabe just chipping it out, and then it's one quick pass to Matthews and you're in there. So it's, I don't know, I can see it working out. There's a reason why in Tampa Bay, guys like Bogosian worked out so well for them. Is you just need strength and defensive defensemen who can chip the puck out to really push a series along.
And I'm here for that argument. The fact that, you know, some of this toughness is coming from guys like Bertuzzi and Domi and guys higher up the lineup who make more of an impact. I'm here for that. But I'm just sick of hearing the narrative that, you know, because they have a guy like Simone Benoit who crushes skulls on the back end, that all of a sudden, you know, that's the reason they're winning games. It's like, no, watch him handle the puck. Like, you know, it's scary. You know, same with Labushkin and Edmondson and other guys and Ryan Reeves. But I get the point where it's like, if it's happening from some of the bigger guys who play more of a role, and then it starts to feel like a team identity rather than just having a couple butchers back there, I get it. It makes a bit of a difference.
Yeah, I'm not pointing any fingers towards Benoit being the reason that they're better. Like McCabe to me is just the perfect playoff defenseman. Just like, that's the guy you need back there. Like, he's like I keep on saying Romanov, Radko Gudas. Like that's what you're getting out of him. He's strong in the corners and he'll get the puck out in whatever way he can. It's not going to be pretty, but it's going to happen.
Agreed. I like that about him. And this is only the second year that he's ever played in the playoffs before, which is, you know, so last year there were comments about him maybe being timid or trying to make a pretty play because he was a bit inexperienced. But this year he really settled in all season long, just being a fan favorite, like blocking shots with his face, doing everything. So like, I'm here for it. Trust me. I'm not like, if you listen to the solo episode I did on the Leafs, I'm higher on this team now, obviously, than I was at the start of the season because some things have started to fall into place. They made a few deadline acquisitions. I mean, they probably should have done more, but you know, how it sits right now, like this team is looking pretty good, and I'll come back to it, and I'm trying not to jinx this series here, but this Bruins team is not as formidable as they used to be. And you know, coming into the season, we talked about how they don't have their top two centers. Well, we realized that that really kind of didn't matter in the regular season. They were still able to get it done. But when push comes to shove, you know, who do they have to shut down Matthews? Pavel Zacha? Charlie Coyle? You know, hasn't worked yet. So we'll see what happens for the rest of the series. But I just think the offense of Toronto is probably the best it's ever been, honestly, in the Matthews era. And they're hopefully going to find a way to get it done.
I just think in the terms of hockey voodoo, you should have talked more about how you like the Leafs and less about how bad the Bruins are, because it's going to come back and bite you now.
Well, I just want to get out of this zone where it's like, oh, it's the big bad Bruins and the Leafs, you know, they're such underdogs. And it's like, guys, they're just another team. Like, the players on this team don't even have the scars anymore. Like, just go out and beat them. Just get it done.
1956.
59.
Yes. I'm dyslexic.
And you know what's crazy about that stat, Case? They haven't won a playoff series against the Bruins since 1959. The Leafs have 4 cups since then.
Yeah.
4.
Yeah, they just avoided the other one of the other 6 or 5 teams in the league, eh?
Yeah.
Jeez. Anyway, I've got the Maple Leafs in 7 in this series. So we'll have to see. It's gonna be a terrific series the rest of the way through. And that wraps it up, fellas. Great work with this one, episode 207, our playoff preview, I guess you could call it, even though the series are underway and we did get our picks out over the weekend. Still great to talk about these matchups and our picks and all
prediction
of that.
Explanation.
Yes. Explanation. That's a good way to put it.
That's right. Playoff explanation. Yes, absolutely. Very good. All right. Thanks for listening to episode 207. Enjoy the rest of the games this week. And, you know, yes, I know we all have to get up for work the next day, but get the pot of coffee going. You've got a great excuse.
Speak for yourself.
Stay up late every night and watch playoff hockey. It's worth it, even if you're a little tired the next day. So that's what coffee's there for. Anyway, thanks for listening and enjoy the rest of your week.
This has been another episode of Boys in the Booth with Harper Cody, Chad Melbourne, and Casey Abrams. Connect with the Boys in the Booth on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Boys in the Booth. Visit boysinthebooth.com for show details. And don't forget, you can become a patron of the podcast for just $1 a month at patreon.com/boysinthebooth.